We pray a blessing on him and on the work that MB Mission is doing locally and around the world. You would bless them and help them to prosper as they spread your name and remind people of how good you are. Lord, we pray your blessings on him as he brings the message for us today, your wisdom and your knowledge to flow through him. We pray that in your strong name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone, and happy Father's Day to those of you who are indeed fathers. I'd like to show you my home team. If we have the PowerPoint going there. So in the meantime, I want to say, as you're sharing about being alongside the wife as she's giving birth, you know, certainly my wife did most of the work, but I felt very responsible. So it's an interesting partnership. So that's my wife, Andrea, on the left, and then Parker and Alicia, who are high school-aged kids in Richmond. And we're so much looking forward to lunch together after I've finished the three services with you folks. So I'll join them back in Vancouver. But in the meantime, I'm fully here with you folks and ready to open the Word of God and talk about the Father sending his love from Luke chapter 10. If you have a Bible with you, I encourage you to find Luke chapter 10. Well, I bring greetings from the team at MB Mission. We are really thankful for the partnership with all the churches in the conference. There's more than 100 MB churches in British Columbia. And as the British Columbia rep, I have the privilege of traveling around and speaking at as many churches as will have us, so which is a pretty full roster. So it's a special grace of the Lord that I have to bring you greetings, and especially that I've just returned like this week from visiting some church planting work in northern Thailand, which is where we're going to be illustrating the message from today, because there's the beauty that today we read the Word of God and we see it lived out in real time in real places, including Burnaby and Vancouver. I mean, you guys are so close. And this is in Burnaby, I know, but like by a frisbee shot, right? You can walk to Vancouver. Yeah, exactly. Very easily walk to Vancouver from here. But of course, in this city, everything's all, you know, merged together. It's hard to know when you leave one area, go to another. So we share this burden together for our neighbors wherever we live, and also recognizing that our families actually go across the globe, asking a couple of folks this morning about their father, and someone said, my dad's in Hong Kong. So it's like, yeah, and my dad's in Toronto. Like, we have this interesting time where we live with our families quite diversely distributed. So interesting times, hey? But I want to look at the next slide here. Show you where I was last Sunday. We'll stay on this as a backdrop for a bit. It's hard to believe with jet travel, you know, I was just literally last Sunday in, here I am on Burnaby Mountain. So is this what you guys call Mount Burnaby, or what is this hilltop called here? It's lovely. It's lovely. But last Sunday, I was on a mountainside in Thailand with a group from a church plant, an MB church plant, that had hiked in to a mountain stream. Why would we do that? Well, it's more than the hike. It was to have five young adults baptized in the river. I mean, this is so cool. It's like you park the trucks and cars, hike in through the forest into the stream, and the water was just deep enough that they could be baptized, you know, which was all it takes. And then afterwards we gathered, and that's a prayer of blessing that you're seeing over the five that were just baptized. So this is a one-year-old church plant, and in the first year of ministry, they've had more than 20 people become Christians, and now more than 15 baptized. So in fact, the very Sunday that we were there last Sunday, in the service, a young lady decided to give her life to Christ. So together we cheered as she was prayed over and welcomed into the kingdom. And then she too will be baptized. So this is a dynamic move of God. And in fact, I was saying to some of the folks after the first service, there are now more Mennonite brethren Christians in Thailand and Laos than there are in Canada. because it's a movement. Like, it is dynamically moving. People are leading people to Christ, and it goes forward and forward. So we want to talk about that this morning from Luke chapter 10. And just before that, I want to ask as an opening question, do you believe that John 3:16 is still valid today? Here we are talking about the Father's love on Father's Day, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. This is the love of the Father, right? Is that love still true today? Well, yes, it is. And that love which sent Jesus, his son, sends us now as ambassadors into the world that is lost without him. The mission of Jesus was plainly stated. He came to seek and to save the lost. So we're going to look at a text today, and we're going to look specifically at five ways that Jesus sent out the workers, and then we're going to apply that to our lives here. So Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. So after this, which was, look back at the end of the last verse, there's the three times people said, I'd like to come follow you, but, dot, dot, dot. But, dot, dot, dot. So after these people are kind of hedging, Jesus appoints 70 others and sends them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. Verse 2, and he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money belt or no bag or no shoes, and greet no one on the way. Wherever, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. If a man of peace or if a person of peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If it's not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating, drinking, whatever they give you, for the laborer is worthy of their wages. Don't keep moving from house to house. Friends, Jesus was sent by the Father. The Father sent his love in a person. In the same manner, Jesus then sends out people in his name by the Holy Spirit. And we likewise bring his truth and his love to people who are lost. This is the pattern that goes forward. In the next slide, I want to show you, so this would be typical, especially in Chiang Mai or Bangkok, where there's the gatherings of really beautiful temple buildings. This is in North Chiang Mai. There's more than 200 temples just in that one city. You get a picture of what things look like in the backdrop. And then the next picture, you get a picture of a less desirable looking location. This is, in fact, you can't even see the church building. This is a 20-year-old MB church that's off the side of a highway. So you drive by, you wouldn't even see it. There's that kind of carport there. The church buildings are in behind. It's very interesting. This property was desolate before. And it was, like many parts of Thailand, a beautiful hill with a nice river running through it. Like it's like some real estate picture of the perfect place to set up your shop. But Thai people didn't want to live on this plot of land. Why is that? Because it was actually haunted by evil spirits. People were freaked out and would not go into this forest because it was a stronghold of evil spirits. So our MB church planters, in Jesus' name, bought the land. The Thai people were pleased to sell the land because nobody wanted it. And guess what the Lord has done? He's created an incredible place of peace, of joy, of hope. And if you go to the next picture, you see the latest church building being built. This is a collaborative effort between a church in Vancouver and a church in Thailand. And it's being built slowly but slowly. Like, we didn't want to just come in and build them a building, and then, we want to build it in partnership. So we did some, and they're sacrificially doing some, as they raise some money and buy some cement, and they're not overly worried about getting it finished. Like, it's one thing for Western people. We're like, we like the project done. Let's get that thing done. What's it got to take to get it done? And they're like, it's okay. We got a roof, The rain is off, the sun is off, and in time it will be finished. But it's a tremendous story of not just a church building, but church planting. And this 20-year-old church is presently planting two churches. So it's one thing to work on your building, slowly but slowly. It's another thing to be planting churches quickly but quickly, because they have the priority, I think, in the right way. So I want to talk to you about how Jesus sends out his laborers here in Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 9, very quickly, he sent out the 12 apostles, right? If you're following along. Now, this is the next wave of followers. We don't know the names of these 70 people. Like most faithful Christian workers in the world today, their names are only known by God. You know, I met some faithful workers last week in northern Thailand who you will never hear of except when you meet them in heaven. But I want to show you a couple of faces in a minute here. The Father sends his love by sending out workers, and he sends them in these sorts of ways. First of all, he sends them ahead of him. So in Luke 10, verse 1, we see Jesus sent them out ahead of him to preach where he would be going, to minister where he'd be going. He sends them ahead of him, two by two. Now, I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about that pattern. Like, so before Jesus himself started his ministry, who went ahead of Jesus? John the Baptist. Before, it's like, this is so interesting. So before Jesus himself goes to preach, he sends people out two by two ahead of him to do what? To prepare the way. There's something about the pattern of the way that God rolls out his agenda here. In fact, even before this is after Jesus was resurrected, and before people are sent out to, in the book of Acts, to do ministry, they're told to what? Wait until the Holy Spirit is sent. So there's this whole thing of, like, God goes first, the Spirit is sent first, and then we are then sent ahead of Jesus. And you think, well, are we really? Well, yes, because biblically, we believe that Jesus is coming again. There was the first coming, and there will be the second coming, which will be the completion of all things. And in this in-between time, we are sent as ambassadors of grace and truth to people who are lost. Before Jesus comes again, he sends us to bring his message to people. So this is the pattern that Jesus has established. And I have to ask you folks on this first point, as Jesus sends out people ahead of him, do you have a burden for lost people? Because the one thing to be saved, you know, like, woo, good thing I'm saved. I mean, that is good. But we should be moreover burdened for people who don't yet know Jesus, our neighbors, our friends, our classmates, our family members. Lord, give us a broken heart for people who don't yet know you. As I heard of your father, I pray for him that today would be the day of salvation. You know, before it's too late, that he would say yes to Jesus. This is our yearning, our cry, Lord, have mercy. So Jesus sends us ahead of him. He sends people ahead of him. Then secondly, he sends them praying. And you might say, well, duh, of course he sends them out praying. Isn't that what we're supposed to do as Christians? But look more carefully. What do they pray for? He says in verse 2, pray for laborers. As you go out working, pray for more workers. Isn't that curious? Well, the reason he does this is it's supposed to be an expanding ministry. You know, if it's just me going out to talk to one person, it's one plus one. Now, that's better than nothing. In fact, if every one of you in the next year led one person to Jesus, the church would be twice as big next year. Like, this is the simple math of addition. But the kingdom of God is meant to be multiplying. It's meant to be expansive. And I'm going to share a story about that in a minute from Thailand. But first of all, we see how Jesus, by design, calls people into service. And as they go, they're praying, and Lord, may people come into the kingdom and also become laborers. So there's this expanding out that goes on. So if we go to the next slide, I want to introduce you to Auntie M. The lady on the left, we get to the next picture there, coming right up, is a Thai person and with the black t-shirt on the left of the picture there. And I'll tell you something that's particularly interesting about her. She's not supposed to be alive today. In fact, she was supposed to be dead about 3 months ago. This Thai woman and her husband run this small grocery store, which this picture is taken in. I took this picture myself last week. I met her. She's supposed to be dead. She is very much alive. They run this grocery store, restaurant, kind of drive-through thing on the side of the highway. And being Thai, they, like many of their Thai neighbors, by tradition, had become Buddhists. As children are born and they're very young, they have amulets put around them and they're brought into the state religion. If you know the colors of the flag of Thailand, anyone been to Thailand? Because anyone? It's a popular place to go to, and I recommend going there. It's amazing. Yeah. Let's all go. Who wants to go? Let's, yeah. Especially on a cold, rainy day. It's nice and warm over there. But the flag of Thailand has three colors. Blue is for the monarchy. The king is highly revered. The senior king has just passed away. There's the new king, and they're in a mourning period right now. It's a very, very big deal. The red of the flag, it stands for blood. They are passionate people to defend the country. The white on the flag stands for Buddhism. So Buddhism is a national identity thing. It's a challenge for people to become Christians because they think, what, do I have to stop being a Thai person? Well, of course not. But you actually have this meshing together of the monarchy, Buddhism, and your national identity. So it makes it a very difficult situation. So this woman nearly 3 years ago began to get sick and ended up being diagnosed with a terminal disease. Our local church planter, again, she runs this drive-through restaurant snack shop, right? So everybody knows her. Everybody stops in. It's like 7-Eleven, Max Milk, Walmart, everything, restaurant. You just stop by and get your stuff. And she's got a lot of stuff in there. So it became well known that she was sick. Our local pastor stopped in, and she wanted nothing to do with being prayed for. So she gets increasingly sick to the point now she's desperate. Her body is shutting down. She actually can't walk much anymore. Her face apparently was so swollen that she can't see very much anymore. Her husband's conducting her around. So imagine the surprise of our pastor, and the pastor, the church planter, is in the middle of the picture with the gray t-shirt, and our MB Mission missionary's got the black t-shirt. He's the Caucasian fellow. The MB Mission folks have planted the church planting movement. The local church planters are now planting the churches. It's a dynamic time there. So this Thai woman in the black t-shirt comes in to that small church building, and it's a pretty interesting story. Her husband drops her off and leaves. So there she is. She can't walk. Her face is so swollen she can hardly see. And there's our pastor right there sitting with her. And he's like, okay, this is interesting. What do I do, Lord? He prays, what do I do? And he feels the Lord speak to him to wait for the husband to come back and speak to them together. So he's visiting with her. An hour later, the husband comes back kind of like, are you guys done? And he's like, no, I got to talk to you guys together. So the husband's like, okay. So they sit together. And here's what the pastor then asks them. Have you been to the medical doctors? Yes, there's no hope. Have you been to the special monks that do the healing? Yes, they said she's going to die. Have you been to the witch doctor? In this village, there are three witch doctors. There's this animism and Buddhism. It's very spiritually, very thick. Yes, the witch doctor said, I'm going to die. We have no hope. That's why we're here. We're desperate. So he says to them, and I was taking notes last week because this is amazing, right? So he asked them literally, I quote, "Are you now ready to see what God can do?" He's very filled with faith, right? "Do you want to keep living?" And she says, "Yes, I do." So he leads them to faith in Jesus and prays for the Holy Spirit to come. And then they take off the amulets, the prayer bracelets, and she fully becomes a Christian. And you might be thinking, and then what happens? Well, overnight comes a miracle. In the middle of the night, she wakes up and she's alarmed because something's happening in her body. And so she starts praying as the pastor taught her to pray. This is real time. And by the next morning, her body is completely healed. Praise God. I met her last week. She is so alive. So here's then what happens is, let me just say, like, we're interviewing her, like, we're sitting in her little snack shop there. I'm taking notes. She said, "God has brought me joy. He healed my heart. He healed my marriage. I was so sick and discouraged before. Now I feel great contentment. I used to not be able to walk, but now I can run." This woman is alive for Jesus. And she's running the drive-through snack shop, restaurant, 7-Eleven, Max Milk, Walmart. Everybody knows her. Everybody knows over almost 3 years that she was dying. And now she's not. Who is the lead evangelist in that village? She is. The gospel is multiplying. Praise be to his name. So back to our five ways that Jesus sends us. Yeah, he sends us out ahead of him. He sends us out. What did I say? Praying. There we go. We can all do that. We go ahead of Jesus. We go praying for laborers. This woman just became a Christian and now she's a laborer. And then he sends them out to release people from captivity, to preach, to share about the gospel, and to release people from captivity. This is exactly what happened. Spiritual, physical captivity released. She's running around. We proclaim the gospel, and the empowering of the Spirit brings the kingdom advance. Auntie M is a literal example of how quickly this can happen. Sometimes it takes time, sometimes it's quickly. Praise God for these stories. So in the next picture, I want to show you, all across Thailand, you'll see these beautiful temples on the outside, so nice, but on the inside, so dark and so heavy. And then the next picture, this is where a lot of folks live that we're reaching out to. They're in slums. I mean, this is not very nice. It's very hot there, no air conditioning. Jobs are difficult to find in these areas. So imagine how challenging it is for our church planters as they're sent out to go into homes like this that are so desperately poor. And I don't know about you, but this fourth way that Jesus sends is maybe one of the most difficult. He sends people out with dependence. He sends people out with humility. He says, don't take the extra money. Don't take the extra clothing. Don't take the extra shoes. Just go, pray about which door will open, and eat what they serve you. Receive their hospitality. Now, I don't know about you, if it's just me, but I kind of find it more comfortable when I know what's going on, when I'm self-sufficient, when I'm bringing stuff, and I like to give stuff away. It makes me feel good. It's kind of more, like the Bible says, it's more blessed to give than to receive, but it's really hard to receive. Have you ever been humbled by having to receive something? In fact, it reminds me of one of the breakthrough stories from a church planter I was working with in Ontario who's working with First Nations people. He's on reserve sharing the gospel, and there's some things moving forward. But the big breakthrough came when he was sick in the hospital, and the First Nations people came to visit him in the hospital. People who were not yet Christians, who knew his love for them, came to him to pray for him. And he's like, you're not, like, he's like, this is so, they're not yet Christians, but they're so worried for him that they're praying for Jesus to heal him. And Jesus did. And there's kingdom advance on the First Nation reserves now, because he had to receive their kindness. And as they cheered him on, he was then able to come and to minister to them. Like, this is amazing. But there's something about coming with humility, coming with dependence, that brings the kingdom advance. And it just is, especially for those of us who are from this kind of culture where we just like to be in charge, like to have the plan, like to know what to do, like to make it happen. To come in and humble ourselves is really difficult. And what did Jesus do? He stepped down from heaven, took on the form of a person, humbled himself, gave of his very life, that we too would know the Father. So Jesus sends people out dependent and humble, just like he was. So our church planters go into these slums and they sit in difficult places and they love people and they receive from poor people. And we see the kingdom advance. Lastly, Jesus sends people out looking then for the person of peace. So what's the strategy here? Well, as you go into a neighborhood, you look for the person of peace. You pray for who will be the person to open the door. This is something we can do here in Canada, whether it's in a condo, a neighborhood, a dormitory, wherever we live. Pray for the Lord to open somebody's heart, that they would open the door for you. And that's where you go and receive the welcome and enter in. This is the biblical way that Jesus sends people out. This is a key mission strategy that we can use wherever we live. And I was really astonished to see how this is working itself out in Thailand. In fact, it was actually quite humbling for us. On Tuesday last week, we did a wonderful devotional with our team from Canada from this text in Luke chapter 10. I think this is why it was such a text on my heart as we worked through this. We prayed together, and then we drove down to visit some of this church planting in these difficult areas. And we asked the church planters, you know, it's like, these stories are amazing. Like, so what do you guys actually do? Like, what's your strategy? So we got the notebook out to take the notes. And they said, well, we go out together. We try to go two by two. I'm like, oh, that sounds familiar. We talk about Jesus, and guess what? A lot of people are physically healed in the slums. Like, these people cannot go to a hospital. Going to the doctor is not an option. In the desperate place, there's an extra grace of the Holy Spirit. People are being healed. It's a sign of the kingdom of God. What does a sign do? The sign points to something. The sign points to the fullness of Jesus. They go into homes where they're welcomed, and they stay there and they visit, sharing about Jesus. They're always looking. They said, you know, here's our strategy. We look for people of peace. Every one of these places we go into, and I'm like, oh, this is so funny. Like, so you mean the devotional we did this morning from Luke chapter 10, this is your strategy? Yeah, like, of course it is. Because this is the way Jesus continues to send people. So it's just one of these, well, duh, it was right before us the whole time. Do we live like this? Do you live like this? Do I live less? Do I think about my neighbors, pray for my neighbors, have a burden for my neighbors, pray, like, which door is going to be opening? You might be surprised. It might be the least likely person. Ask God to open the door and then go in. Go in how? Go in praying. Go in humble. Go in receiving what they give you. And go in bringing the joy of the Lord. So as we close today, I have to ask three important questions. First of all, and I would ask this anywhere I go, because in these desperate times, we want people to be at peace with God. My friends, do you personally know the love of this Father? We've talked about it. We've sung about it. It could be out there to you. Do you personally have peace with God the Father? Let today be the day of your salvation. Let today be the day your name is written in the book of eternal life. Secondly, if you are a follower of Jesus, you might think, well, maybe I'm not yet ready to share about him. Maybe you think, well, I don't know enough about him. I haven't been a Christian long enough. Well, the Bible passage today, remember, as you go, pray for laborers, because people are going to become Christians as you go, and they will also go, and they will go, and they will go. Like Auntie M has been a Christian for 3 months. She is boldly on fire for Jesus. She didn't have to wait till anything happened. Let me tell you, the next day, her neighbor said, Auntie M, what happened to you? You were dying, and now you're not. So she didn't say, well, I haven't taken all my classes yet at the church. I don't know what to say. You know, of course not. She's like, I want to tell you about Jesus. So there's no waiting period. Today is the day to share about Jesus. He will give you words to say. He will give you faith. And lastly, I ask this very, very earnestly. Is there anything in your life spiritually that you're holding back with Jesus? And I say this having especially been in Thailand, where the superstition is so real and in your face. Like here in Canada, it's more of a subtle superstition. Like maybe we just have a little something on the side, just in case Jesus isn't really enough. You know, like I look at the horoscope. I don't really believe it, but I like to look, like, what is my sign and what is happening to, you know, like, I don't really believe it, but this is where we need to be very careful not to dabble or double dip. We have to be all in for Jesus. Leave behind the superstitious ways. If there's anything from your family background, anything, if you've got these amulets or idols that you think, well, you know, it's not real. It's just something that my great grandma had. Well, pray about it. It could be actually a spiritual stronghold. And these are things to be very cautious about. Not to be scared because all authority is in Jesus' name, but let's be very diligent about our Christian lives and what we have and what we hold, because we've found people coming from the dark, heavy background have to be entirely set free. So don't go halfway yourselves. Be all in for Jesus. So as we close in prayer today, Lord, I ask for these friends, if there's anyone here who needs to say yes to Jesus, that before they leave today, they'll turn to whoever brought them or one of the leaders and say, how do I know the Father's love? Secondly, for everyone who's here who knows you, Jesus, empower them by your Spirit, that today they would share about the Father's love, the ultimate satisfaction of our souls. And lastly, Lord, we would live entirely free from all encumbrances, all superstitions, to fully embrace you and your truth. And we pray that you would stir us to pray for the persecuted church, the emerging church. Pray for Auntie M, that she would have a powerful witness in that valley in Thailand. We pray for those who today are becoming Christians, that your name will multiply across the world, and your kingdom will continue to advance until that last day when we'll see you face to face, and you will say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. To that end we pray. Amen. Thank you.